Happy birthday, Charles. Did you know it was Charles' birthday? He's a few years somewhere behind me. That's all I know. In 1980, listen to this statistic now. In 1980, more than 90% of Americans claimed to be Christians. Claimed to be Christians, 1980. Now, I realize lots of you weren't born then yet, but some of us were. In 1980, more than 90% of Americans claimed to be Christian. Today, that number has dropped to 66%. 66% of Americans now claim, 34 do not even claim to have anything to do with Christianity in America anymore. And tragically, that takes another step. Of the 66%, according to George Barna, the director of research of the American Worldview Inventory, of the 66 that claim to be Christian, 6% claim a biblical worldview. That's not very many. 6% claim a biblical worldview. What does that mean? Well, a large percentage of Americans that would claim I am Christian, according to this survey, do not believe there is a Holy Spirit. They do not believe the Holy Spirit is real. They do not believe in the virgin birth. They do not believe that the book we call the Holy Bible is the inerrant Word of God. Many in the 66% do not think that faith in Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, as Jesus said in John 14:6. They say faith at all matters more than which faith. Barna continues with this survey result, this conclusion. This, and I quote, "This new America we see emerging is radically different demographically, politically, relationally, and spiritually. It is a young, non-white, mobile population. This group is largely indifferent to the United States of America and is demonstrably skeptical of the nation's history, the nation's foundations, the nation's traditions, and the ways of life. They are technologically advanced, sexually unrestrained, emotionally unpredictable, and a spiritual hybrid," end quote. I have shared with you over the last couple of years a lot of statistics. And the trends of American Christianity are less than encouraging. You still with me, brothers and sisters? 6% of Americans claim a biblical worldview only. That would be cause for anxiety in many circles. Obviously, if we care about the eternal consequences of people, we would be troubled by those trends. I've entitled today's word, "The Cure for Anxiety." But I suspect none of you have any anxiety problems. Is that true? Nothing to be anxious about. Luke 12, if you got your Bible, turn there. Luke chapter 12, the words of Jesus beginning at verse 22. The cure for anxiety. Then he said, that's Jesus, to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, they neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is sown in the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." Matthew says it just a little differently in Matthew 6:33. Jesus' words were, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Luke says, "But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you." I was reading this in my morning devotions a couple of weeks ago, and I was thinking about, do not be anxious. We live in a time of unprecedented anxiety. Do we not, brothers and sisters? We do. And I read this that morning, and the words of Jesus kept registering with Jim. Do not be anxious, but seek the kingdom of God. You look around us for a minute. There are huge concerns, even anxiety over governmental affairs, the national debt, all these things. And even would you want to dare talk about socialism creeping into the free fabric of society? These things give us some anxiety. As a matter of fact, I believe Brother Keith in the class this morning is showing a 30-minute David Jeremiah clip about the creeping in of socialism, Marxism, communism in America. I believe he's showing that over there right now. And if you would want a link to that, I'm sure we could hook you up. You give us your email. Dr. David Jeremiah has a great word about that. There could be great anxiety about that. There has been great concern, great anxiety, and even panic over the pandemic this last, 20 months. And its far-reaching tentacles that just seem to keep lingering and keep advancing in our neighborhoods and nation. These things bring us anxiety, concern, worry. There is anxiety over the idea of mask mandates and mandatory vaccinations, or you lose your job if you don't get it. These are real issues to real people in everyday life. And I'm not saying what you should do. You just got to take that up with the Lord. But I am saying they are causing anxiety and concern and probably heartburn and other situations. This past summer, you look out now, and it don't look like it now because the grass is lush and green, but this past summer, there was a major drought in two-thirds of America and fires burning out of control all over. That causes much anxiety and concern and worry because those effects will last farmers, ranches, cities, industries for years. There are employers with much anxiety about their lack of or their inability to find employees. That gives them concern and anxiety. And as I read to begin with, there is certainly concern over the exodus of people from the church and the seemingly reality, as Paul talks about, the falling away. There's concerns about that. And the list could go on and on and on and on. But there are things that we worry about. There are things that give us anxiety. And I read these words of Jesus, and he says, Jim, church people, which of you by worrying are going to add a cubit to your stature? Is that going to change anything? Which of us by worrying are going to change anything? Jesus said, if you then are not able to do the least by worrying, you're not going to change anything. Why are you so anxious for the rest? Jesus said. Do you see what Jesus is saying here, friends? We live in a time of unprecedented anxiety, worry, difficulties. And Jesus said, what's that going to change? I was thinking about a good word. What would be the opposite of worry and anxiety? What would you come up with? Faith, maybe. Peace. Trust. And so then it boils down to me, boils down for this to me, and maybe for you. If the opposite of worry and anxiety is faith and trust and peace and those kinds of things, do we trust the Creator of the universe in all things, for all things, about all things? Or are we still just limiting God to our abilities? Are you still with me, brothers and sisters? Do we really trust the Master in difficult circumstances, in the droughts, in the pandemics? Do we really trust Him? Are we just trusting in what we can do, what we can control, what we can handle? Are we really, as Jesus said in Matthew and Luke records again, are we really seeking first the kingdom of God? Are we seeking answers on what I can do? That's what Jesus is talking about here in this, seemingly in my life, unprecedented opportunities to have anxiety. Jesus reminds us, especially in the church, seek Him first and His kingdom and His righteousness. Seek Him first. And ironically, he said, when you do that, all these things you're worried about shall be added unto you. Are you with me, brothers and sisters? We need to turn in the worry and the anxiety for trust in the Creator who is still in control. Are there things to be concerned about? Of course there are. Of course there's things to be concerned about. I've mentioned some of them, and there's 100 more. I was encouraged this last few days when Texas instituted a law, they call it the heartbeat bill. So when a baby's heartbeat is detected in the womb, Texas legislators passed a law to not kill the baby. Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea. I was encouraged by that. And yet from the very top of the elected positions in America, we condemned that bill. That's concerning. There are things that concern us. Slavery. Charles and I were talking about that with other pastors. There's slavery around the world. Unimaginable numbers of people, as little as 5 and 6 year old kids, are in slavery today. It's real. There are things that are concerning to us. Children starving. The murder in America, the taking of life in Chicago and Minneapolis and New York and L.A. is alarming. There are things that concern us. Sexual abuse. There's 300 children caught up and swiped off the streets or are farmed out by addicted parents. There's 300,000 of them in sexual slavery in America right now. There are things to be concerned about. Don't get me wrong. But Jesus said, when it comes to anxiety and worrying about the everyday things of life, what are you going to change? You're going to add 1 cubit to your stature? The answer is no, we're not. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things, he said, shall be added to you. I believe, brothers and sisters, that especially in a time of this, anxiety that we live in, God would have us, his church, trusting him, praying through, seeking him, going through our daily lives, living for him, no matter what the circumstances. I believe he would have the church setting the pace, so to speak, to trust him, to live for him, to seek him. I believe that God would have us in the church to set the tone, set the stage for trusting and seeking and living for him when all around us seems to be anxious. I read a story off Christian Post this last week. Perhaps some of you have heard of it. It was about a pastor that immigrated to Canada from Poland. Anybody read that or see that on the news or anything? I don't know if it's on the news. I don't watch any news. But here's what the Christian Post said. Canadian pastor Artur Pawlowski was arrested on the airport tarmac upon his return back to Canada from a trip that he had been here in America. When he got back there, he got off the plane and was arrested right there. And Pastor Artur Pawlowski has issued this warning to Americans: you're next. The article continues, the Canada Border Services Agency arrested this pastor last week for 2 outstanding warrants. Now, listen closely to what the warrants are. We're not talking murder here. One was for not wearing a mask, and the other warrant was for holding a church service in June. He has an upcoming court hearing on October 13th where a judge will decide whether he goes to jail for contempt of court for holding worship service in violation of lockdown restrictions. Now, here's what Pastor Artur Pawlowski said. If they came for me, be sure of it, they're coming for you as well. He serves as pastor of Street Church and Cave of Adullam Church in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. He told Fox News in, I quote, "What they're doing today is identical to what I remember growing up." He grew up in Poland, remember? Communist Poland, I might add. Pastor said this, "What they're doing today is identical to what I remember growing up with, comparing the measures taken by law enforcement officials to enforce COVID-19 restrictions now to the actions taken by authorities in his native Poland when he was under communist rule," end quote. What's my point? We can worry and be anxious about a million things, and it will gain us not one cubit to our stature. Or we can seek first the kingdom of God, always, in all things, for everything, and his righteousness. Friends, what we need to be concerned about more than anything else is, have I been born again? Are you still with me? 66% of Americans say, "I'm Christian," but only 6% of that crowd sees this as relevant completely in its entirety. What we need to understand and even borderline concern, am I born of God? Am I being led by the Spirit of God? Am I being obedient to Christ and his teachings? Am I seeking him and his kingdom for everything? That's what we should be concerned about. Should we pray about these things? Of course. Should we get involved to a degree that we've sought the Lord? Of course. But at the end of the day, I've said this a lot of times, and at the end of life, nothing else is going to matter but what I have done with Jesus. What I have done with by faith and for Jesus. Nothing else will matter. In this little passage, he talks about food and clothes and these and that, the other things of life. The clothes I had or didn't have at the end of the day, at the end of life, will not matter. The friends I had or didn't have at the end of life will not matter. The degrees I had or didn't have at the end of life will not matter. The money that I made and you made or didn't make at the end of life will not matter. The trophies that we've won, the records that were set or didn't set at the end of life will not matter. The possessions, accumulation, the lands, the hotels, thinking of the board game, or houses that we accumulated at the end of the day will not matter. The only thing that will matter on that day is, have I sought the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Because that's what Jesus said to do. Have I trusted Christ? Have I lived for him? Have I sought him in the anxiety of life? Have I trusted him? Father, thank you again that we can rest in you no matter what. I know there are people here today that have lost loved ones in the last few days. There are hurts, there are concerns, probably even some borderline worries and anxiousness. Father, help all of us to trust in you completely for everything, in all things, for all things. Go with us this day, Father, trusting you, seeking first your kingdom always. Bless and encourage, strengthen and equip, guide us in this pathway called life, and use us for your glory. Go with each person the rest of this day, whether it's to class or travel or home or whatever is on the schedule. May we seek you and trust you for everything today and always. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.